I was taking my time tonight because I thought maybe God might have somebody that he was wanting to minister, and I thought I'd pick up something. A lot of things that we need to know. I believe that this year is going to bring about a great crisis and a pressure on the church. I said that back a number of months ago. I said, I feel like you're going to see a great pressure on the church, and they're going to begin to move in, and sure enough, they're already moving in. The paper stated that they're wanting to know what the ministry is doing with the money that comes in to their organization. There's one thing about it. If a man's a true minister, and if he's truly doing the will of God and the work of God, even though it's none of their business, yet he won't mind. I don't mind a bit. They can come out here and look into this as much as they want to at Little Bethlehem. I don't mind. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. We don't have anything to hide. The books are open. But I tell you what, when they start sticking their nose in God's business, God will do them like he did Nebuchadnezzar down there. Like he did Egypt when he turned it into a rubbish pile. We don't mind, but God minds. You don't mess with God's business. You know, we set up the government, or that is, our forefathers did, with separation of church and state. That is, they said, state, keep your nose out of God's business. And the state has kept it out of God's business in some ways, but they've got real nosy in God's business as of late. Since communism and every other doctrine has infiltrated the government of the United States, and they've changed and curved and added to it, taken away from the Constitution, they become very nosy. But God's going to put a cap on the bottle after a while. And when God gets through, they'll keep their nose out of God's business. You know, God let them rage on down in Babylon, and they'd done anything they wanted to do. God just let them rage on. But one day when they decided that they were so far along they could tamper with the vessels of God, they reached up and got a hold of the vessels of God, and God turned the thing in on their head. And they're getting so bold now that they feel like they can take the vessels of God. How do you know we're the vessels of God? They're wanting their cut, you know. The Bible said every man looks to his own quarter for his own gain. And they're wanting their cut out of it. They're trying to figure out how they're going to get their cut. They're afraid that some of the ministers, you know, as long as the ministers was getting a few pennies, you know, and having a penny march, they didn't care. But with men like Rex Humbart got to living in $200,000 homes, they decided that religion was better business than what they was doing. They better look into it, see what happened to their cut. Getting interested in it. But it's not a thing in the world except that people have neglected to pray. They've neglected to seek after Christ. And they've neglected to be holy and clean and upright. And they've mixed and mingled with the world until, like Samson, they've told the world their secrets. And now Delilah's closing in on them to clip their locks. That's what it is. See, what we do at Bethlehem is none of their business. Somebody said, well, what they do is none of your business. What they do is our business. Did you know that? Yes, sir. What they do is our business, but what we do is none of their business. The Bible said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That's our business to judge. But the Bible said, he that is spiritual, no man judgeth him. You can't judge him. How are you going to judge his spirit? All right, so it's the sons of God's job to look after everything and keep everything straight. And it's a true fact that those people out there are a bunch of squatters. They're on our properties. They're on our lands. All of the world belongs to the sons of God. The stars, the moon, the ocean. We're God's children, and everything belongs to us, and all of them are a bunch of squatters. And after a while, we're going to run an abstract, survey the land real good, and kick the squatters off. The Old Testament speaks of a time when the land is redeemed, and at that time, the Old Testament tells us that Israel kicked the squatters off. So we're going to drive the squatters off. All people are squatters except children of God, and God will drive them away. Every person that is wicked, every person that's not a Christian, every person that refuses to serve God, God teaches that he's a squatter. And the Bible said, I'll pursue him till he perish from off of the face of the earth. A lot of people say, well, God made the earth to be inhabited according to the Holy Scriptures. He certainly did, but not by devils and demons and squatters. He made it to be inhabited by the children of God. Come on now, isn't that what the Bible said? Somebody said, well, God said, multiply and replenish the earth. He didn't say that to a bunch of squatters. Isn't that right? He said, all of their offerings is abomination in his sight. Their prayers are abomination in his sight. Everything they do is abomination in his sight. Who did he say to multiply and replenish the earth? The Son of God, didn't he? Said, the Son of, that was the Son of, and then Adam, who was the Son of God. Said, Son of God, you multiply and replenish the earth. That's what God wants. The others are a bunch of squatters. I want to read a little bit from 1 Corinthians, if you've got your Bible. You know, it never has been God's will for a bunch of beasts to multiply. He told them when they started into Canaan land, said, I'm going to drive the people over there out a little bit at a time, lest the beasts multiply against you. You see, God's been real slow and real careful driving this thing, you know, carefully, real slow to spare everybody that he could, because the Lord just moved in here like that, just moved in and drove the demons and devils out. The brute beast of this world would have multiplied so that they'd crushed the life out of us. But God let them devils and demons stay out there, and he just drive a few out at a time so them devils and demons can keep devouring them brute beasts, you know, and hold them at bay out there. Kill them out in plane wrecks and car wrecks and train wrecks and diseases and all kind of things to keep them from multiplying against us till we can take the land over. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the first verse, if you'd like to read with me. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, you know, Paul, sometimes it sounds like he's talking in riddles. He tells us here that we are not to give any offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Gentile. And somebody would right readily say, Brother Pike, if we're not to give offense to people, then you should be careful what you say to them. I agree that we ought to be careful what we say to them. But we've got to judge what Paul was saying and understand what Paul was saying. For the Bible tells us in many things we offend all. We are rude in speech, he said, but we're not in knowledge. You see, Paul tells us not to offend the Jew, nor to offend the Gentile. But it is a true fact that Paul constantly offended the Jews and constantly offended the Gentiles. Not that he meant to, but they took offense at things that they should not have been offended at. It wasn't Paul trying to offend them, but they took offense. For instance, here Paul tells us not to offend the Gentiles, but he himself is standing telling the people that the Gentiles offer their offerings unto devils. Don't you think that offends the Gentile? If you tell the Gentiles that what they're offering it unto devils, don't you know that offends them? So then we've got to understand what Paul meant about being found offensive toward people. Now, so then we see here, Paul is telling us, like I tried to explain this morning, that you cannot do the things of the world and still be a Christian. This is Paul's simple way of saying you cannot be a child of God and do the things of the world. You know, we get mixed up and we're so sure that we can do the things of the world and still be a child of God that we can go out there and partake of the things of the world and still come to church and be a child of God. But it's a positive fact that we cannot go out into the world and come back and partake of the things of God. As somebody would say, as I said this morning, I've got everything you've got plus. But really they don't have what you have. They have a religious walk with God out there as far as dispensational grace. But they do not have the fellowship and the blessings of God. They cannot drink from the cup of God. It tells us that if you go out there into the world and you partake of the things of the world, you may come to church. But brothers and sisters, be sure of one thing. You are not partaking of the things of God. You may have it in your mind. You're just as much a part of little Bethlehem or the things of God as anybody else. But to your startling amazement, When you get to the judgment, you're going to find out you're altogether wrong. You cannot drink of the cup of God and drink of the cup of devils. And the Bible tells us that the cup of the devil is among the Gentile people. That whatever they offer unto devils. He speaks of their feast and the things that they do. The things that they do when they get together. He tells us that these things are sacrifices that's offered unto devils. Now, a person would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me when the Gentiles get out there, if they just have a great big party and a great big feast, that they're offering that to devils? The Bible said all of man's labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. And who is he that savors the things of the belly but Satan? Who is he that savors the things of the flesh but Satan? When you're feeding the flesh and you're pampering the flesh and you're lifting the flesh up, what are you doing but feeding the devil? You can't drink from the cups of devils and drink from the cups of God. When you're feeding the spiritual man, the things of God, then you're drinking from the cup of God. But unless you're feeding the spiritual man the things of God, then you're not drinking from the cup of God. So then Paul tells us that there is a definite distinction, a definite difference between being a Christian and being a religious person. He tells us in the 10th chapter here, he said, Moreover, brethren, said, I would not have you ignorant that all of them was under the cloud. Every one of them was under the cloud. See, all of the people of the day are under grace. How many of you understand that? All of the people today are under grace. We're moving through a great wilderness. And all of the people are under the shadow of grace. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. All of them were under the cloud. He said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. He overthrew them in the wilderness. And see, that's what God's doing today. God is overthrowing people in the wilderness today. You say, in what way, Brother Pike? With the carnal mind. The carnal mind is swallowing them up today. The flesh, the earth, the dust of the ground is opening up in its lust and literally swallowing the soul and the spiritual part of mankind up. As they journey through this intellectual wilderness. So he said, I would not have you ignorant. He said, all of them were baptized. Now listen, all of them were baptized. Maybe some was Methodist. Maybe some was Presbyterian. Some was sprinkled. Some was dipped. All of them, he said, were baptized. Here he said, the fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized under Moses. Now listen. All did eat of that same spiritual meat and drank of that same spiritual drink from that spiritual rock who was Christ that followed them. All of them did that. Isn't that the way it is in the world today? All of them's got a religion. All of them's getting grace. Every one of them is drinking from that wonderful rock, that spiritual outpouring where he said, I pour out of my spirit in the last days upon all mankind. Drunkards and harlots and liars and cheats and swindlers, sharp, cunning businessmen, intellectual demons and devils. See, people everywhere is partaking of that greatness of God, and they're all under that cloud. They're all being baptized under Moses. Now, but the thing is, the Bible said with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Said, these things happen for my example. These things happen for your example. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what's all those things got to do with me? The Bible said, these things happen for your example, that ye should not lust. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play. The other night when the angel of the Lord appeared to me in the vision, the thing that disturbed me was that the people of little Bethlehem have sat down to eat and drink, but they rose up to play. They've made a game out of it. See, and God isn't well pleased with it. But we're going to have to quit playing games. We're going to have to do something for God, get down to business for God. Now you say, Brother Pike, you really believe that we've been playing a game? I certainly do not believe that you've been playing a game. But I tell you what, you can get so far away from God, you can play a game. So then the Bible said that they sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play, and the Bible said that just in one day, God destroyed 20,000 of them or more. Just at one time, God done away with them. Just because they disobeyed God. We wonder a lot of times why the wrecks, why the epidemics, why the problems, why everything is happening like it is. Why the wars, why boys are killed out. Why do we get into all the problems, political problems we do? It's because people are playing church. It's because people are not doing right. And the Bible tells us that God wants us to live holy. God wants us to stay away from the cups of devils. And God wants us to get in and be a holy people. Get away from the things of the Gentiles. Don't partake of the things of the Gentiles. Get away from them. If God wants you to have a home, and God wants you to have a car, and God wants you to have clothing, and God wants you to have food, and He certainly does, He will make provisions for it. But you don't have to go out there and sell your soul to the devil and compromise to get a little prestige or get a house or get some automobile or something that you need. God promised to supply that. But the Bible tells us that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all of these things will be added unto us. See, we're not to go out there running after the things of the world. The Bible said the Gentiles seek after those things. But what we're supposed to do is seek after God. Seek after the kingdom of God. We're supposed to pray and fast and seek God. And then let God add the things unto us that He wants us to have. So then the Bible tells us to withdraw from those things. People are foolish, running after worldly fame, running after admiration from people, esteeming one another by giving degrees and all these different writings of PhDs and all these kind of things. That's a bunch of foolishness to God. I know they do it and esteem one another, but the Bible said seeking honor of man, how will we ever have the honor of God? If I'm trying to get the banker's favor out here, how in the world am I ever going to get God's favor? I'm not interested in getting somebody's favor uptown. I'm not interested in the sheriff's favor. I'm not interested in the banker's favor. I'm interested in God's favor. I want the favor that comes from God. The Bible said Jesus grew in favor with man and God. But the way that Jesus got favor of man, He got favor of God. And the Bible said if you ways please God, God will make your enemies be at peace with you. See what God did? God made Jesus' enemies be at peace with Him. It wasn't that they wanted to favor Him. They couldn't do anything else. Is that right? When Pharaoh got after Moses, Pharaoh didn't want to favor Moses. But when God took the wheels off and left him in the Red Sea, he couldn't do anything else. See, them people out there don't love you. Don't you ever get it in your mind because you're dealing with some of them. You say, well, they're a nice guy, you know, and I know that he's a good fellow. Don't you ever get any thought like that. Let me tell you something, they're interested in your dollar, and when your dollar stops, they'll cut you off just like you was never their friend. That's right, they'll drop you, as the old saying goes, just like they had a hot potato in their hand. So then don't go seeking their favor. Seek God's favor. Seek God's favor. Don't try to drink of the cup of devils. Seek God's favor. Get in and drink of the cup of God. Let me tell you something. Cracking a little joke on the side, saying a little dirty word on the side, sipping and nipping a little bit on the side. God will get you for that. You remember what I'm telling you? Watching a little ugly television show on the side, reading a little ugliness in some magazine on the side, listening and giving your ears to the garbage can of somebody's little joke on the side so that you don't have to rebuke them. God will get you for that. You better wake up. Laying around, doing nothing, not getting up, being about the Father's business, letting somebody else carry the load all the time, God will get you for that. When there's something to do for God, every man has to carry the load. When there's something to do for God, every woman has to carry the load. And what we need to do is get up and be about our Father's business. Share and share alike. If there's a financial load to carry, then everybody should carry. If there's some work to be done in Bethlehem or any other place, wherever it's at, in Mexico or wherever it's at, we ought to help share the load. If we have to send skilled labor down there, we ought to do it. Over in the Carolinas, we preached a revival up there. And when we got through, they sent skilled labor down in old Mexico to help them build that building down there. Brother Gonzalez, you remember when they come down there from the Carolinas. Skilled labor come down there and help build that building. Went all the way to Mexico. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're not to shut up our bowels of compassion. But if people over in Africa need help, we're to do it. We're to take care of it. If they're crying over there, God's going to hear them over there. And God's going to speak to Brother Pike and you over here and say, share what you got with them people over there. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I think I need to get a little money in the bank. I need to get a little something on the side over here so I can make it easy for my family. You don't need nothing but the love of God. You don't need nothing but faith in God. You don't need to lay up nothing for nothing. What you need to do is be concerned about lost souls. Be concerned about the work of God. If you've got a dollar, if you've got a dime, put it to work for God. Don't stick it in the bank. Come on. Put it to work for God. If you've got any strength left, put it to work for God. Don't be a mumbler and a grumbler, always a busybody in other men's matters and always finding fault and say, well, I would give, but such and such and such. I would give, but I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Always some evil old spirit, some old devil. I don't believe in this, and I don't believe Sister So-and-so's doing right, and she plays the piano. And I don't believe that Brother So-and-so's doing right, and he plays the guitar. I ain't got too much confidence in no bald-headed preacher either. You ought to move and go somewhere. Get somewhere where you have got some confidence, but you're going to find out that lying devil you got, wherever you go, he ain't going to have no confidence in God. Did you know that? He ain't going to have no confidence in nobody but himself. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, I don't have confidence in myself. Yes, you do. If you're finding fault with everybody else, you must have confidence in that old carcass of yours. Did you know that? If you can take your old carcass and your old intellectual reasoning and reason and judge everybody else, that means the confidence you got is that old, in that little old computer of yours up here. That's the only place you got any confidence in what you is in what you think about it or what you say about it. Whatever you think about it, whatever you say about it, that's the confidence that you got. Is that right? So then it's obvious that you criticize everybody else, so then your confidence is in your own thinking. And that's the first thing that God tells us to do, is lay aside our own thinking. We're told in the Holy Scriptures not to lean to our own understanding. Isn't that right? But trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and He'll direct our path. What we need to do is quit trying to figure it out up here. Get confidence in the Word of God. Quit trying to judge people according to what we think. I don't have any right to judge you as an individual on what I think. I've got a right to judge you on what the Bible says about it. Did you know that? If you don't fit the Word of God, something's wrong with you. Somebody say, well, that's the way I judge them. I don't think they fit the Word of God. I didn't say if you thought they didn't fit the Word of God. I said if the Bible says it, then they don't fit the Word of God. Then you've got a right to say something about it. But some of you don't come to church enough and don't serve God enough or don't live holy enough to even think the right thing. You don't know enough about the Bible to even interpret it right, let alone to judge somebody and find fault with somebody. The best thing that you can do is get straight with God and give your heart to God and quit judging people and quit meddling in other men's affairs. If about a half a dozen of you that feels like God's called you to the ministry would go somewhere and get saved and give your heart to God, then we'd have more peace at Little Bethlehem. You say, Brother Pike, you talk to a minister like that? I wouldn't dare talk to a minister like that. I said, if some of you that feels like, if some of you feel like you've got the answers to the situation, would go somewhere in your prayer closet and spend about 3 days with God and then come out and judge the situation again, you'd have a different opinion of it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right. So then all of them were together under the cloud. Isn't that right? All of them passed right through the Red Sea. All of them kept following Moses. But the Bible said they all didn't go into Canaan. All of them did not go into Canaan. See, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Is God pleased with you tonight? Is God pleased with you tonight? Get your mind off of the hypocrite. If there's any hypocrites here at Bethlehem, get your eyes off of the hypocrite. Why do you want to watch a hypocrite all the time? What interest do you have in devils? Get your mind off of the devils and get your mind on the saints of God. Do you think there's any good people at all in Bethlehem? Everybody believes there's some people that is good at Bethlehem. Let me see your hand. Sure, there's some godly people here, saints of God here. You think I'm going to go around spending my time watching a hypocrite when I can see something that outshines the noonday sun? I'm going to look at the sons of God. I'm going to keep my mind on the virtuous things of God, and I'm going to enjoy the things of God. I'm not going to worry about what Sister So-and-so does and Brother So-and-so does. I'd rather spend my time going to Brother So-and-so and Sister So-and-so and telling them that they're not right with God. You say, do you ever do that? All the time. Said, well, you haven't got around to me yet. Well, give me some more time. I'm on your trail. I'll get there if you'll just sit steady. You love Jesus? All right. So then we want to worship God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. We want to worship Christ. And we want to do something for God. I don't want somebody always grumbling and mumbling and finding fault. The Bible said here they murmured and the destroyer came in on them. And the Bible tells us we're not to murmur. Why should we murmur about this and murmur about that? We murmur about the school and we murmur about the church. We murmur about the preaching. We murmur about the preacher. We murmur about our neighbor. Murmur all the time about something. The Bible said when they murmured, they let the devils and demons in and God turned the destroyer loose on them and he destroyed many of them because they murmured and they grumbled. Praise God. Let's don't murmur and complain. If you've got problems with your brother, go to your brother and say something to your brother about it. Don't murmur and complain. You love Jesus? I appreciate Scotty. Somebody came over to his house a few days ago, so I was told, and was telling Scotty what he thought about little Bethlehem, and Scotty said, I don't want to hear it. If that's all you got to talk about, you'll be on your way. Thank God for Scotty. Somebody said, Scotty's a hypocrite. Sounded to me like he got more than some of the others. Say, you're justifying Scott is wrong. I'm not justifying anything. I'm just telling it like it is. All right. So then let's stand up for God. I understand somebody said something to Scott's wife about what God told him. Scott's wife said, you must be mistaken. Said, because the thing you're saying ain't right. That's what we need. That's what we need. Let's stand up for the truth. It doesn't make any difference who it is. If it's Brother Pike, if it's Brother Taylor, Brother whoever it is, stand up for God. It's your duty to stand for Christ. If it's my son or my daughter, my uncle, my aunt, my mother, my wife, it don't make any difference who it is. I intend to stand for God. If Abraham could stand up for God, then I can stand up for God too. Makes me feel good all over. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you know that you've cut all the ties and you're standing for God, it don't make any difference if it's son or daughter, or mother or daddy, relative or friend or whoever. A lot of you've got too close ties with friends. If somebody speaks about your friend, you're ready to just about stand on your head. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say something about your friend. Just as sure as you live, if he ain't the friend of God, I'm going to say something about your friend and you're going to get all upset. You're not supposed to have any friends that you can't stand for God to reprove. If they need reprove, then reprove them. If you'll reprove them, then the preacher won't have to do it. Hallelujah. You hear somebody griping and a grumbling and a going on about Bethlehem and about what we're doing, stand up and say, wait a minute, you're my friend. I love you, but you need to shut your mouth. You're saying the wrong thing. Come on! Some of you just can't bear that kind of preaching, can you? I tell you what, if you don't tell them to shut it, God will shut their mouth. The Bible said there's some mouths that ought to be stopped, and God will stop their mouth. If you can't tell them, God will stop them. If you sit at home all the time and you take the preacher apart, then when something happens, you get a little baby sick, you bring a little child over, and a preacher goes to pray for him, the child ain't got no confidence in him. Is that right? The preacher goes to pray for him, ain't no confidence there. Why, you done took him all apart. That's right. I'm going to say this. There's a minister. Been some talking at my house. There's been a whole lot of things said about the minister. I heard somebody the other day say, shut up, son, don't you say that. But the son had heard somebody else say that. So when something was said about the minister, the son said, I'll tell you what, if he comes around here, I'll tell him. Not so high. You understand what I'm saying? But if the son had not heard, Daddy wouldn't have been talking like that. Isn't that right? It reminds me of a man and a woman's argument. You know, a man, he'll say something, he'll say, hush up, be quiet, and that's all I want to say. But a woman, she'll tell the whole thing from end to end. I don't care if the president's sitting around, she'll run till you stop her. She's going to tell it all. You love Jesus? All right. So then let's tell it like it is. All of them were under the cloud. All of them were with Moses. But with all of them, God wasn't pleased. I know we all got grace. I believe the Baptists has got grace. I believe the Methodists has got grace. I believe the non-denominationals got grace. I believe the Jesus only people, as they refer to them, has got grace. But there's one thing about it. That's not sufficient unless it is grace unto salvation that teaches us to straighten up our crooked lives. Let me tell you something, folks. Just because somebody's been baptized in Jesus' name, that don't mean you're going to go to heaven. There's multiplied churches that baptize in Jesus' name, non-denominationals and otherwise, even some Baptist churches. That don't mean you're going to go to heaven. God is not baptism in Jesus' name. God is the Spirit of holiness. When you get the Spirit of holiness, then you're getting close to God. God ain't wanting you to go on no 30-day fast. God's wanting you to straighten up your crooked life. Did you know that? It wouldn't hurt any of us to go on a 30-day fast. But God's wanting a little bit of obedience. Did you know that? God's not interested in how many people get baptized in Jesus' name. God's wanting holiness out of your life. He's wanting us to live holy and clean. If you live holy and clean, you'll get baptized in Jesus' name. That's right. Nobody can't live really holy, real holy and clean, read the Bible without God revealing to him that he ought to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. All right, so they all were baptized unto Moses in the Red Sea and in the cloud. They all drank from that spiritual rock. All of them was partakers of that spiritual benefit. But the thing is, they didn't go into Canaan. Now, how are you planning to make the translation? That's the thing, see? Are you planning to make the translation? Then, like I said today, this thing that I'm preaching is going to have to become an experience with you, folks. It can't just be some knowledge or something I'm saying. It's got to be an experience with you. Have you really got an experience with God? Have you? Do you really pray and fast and seek God? Do you really feel God on the inside of you? Do you? Everybody that really feels God, let me see your hand. Oh, land, you mean that's all we got at Bethlehem? It feels God? No wonder I'm preaching like I'm preaching. See, this thing has got to be an experience. We've got to get up and be about the Father's business. We got to wake up. I feel God. I'm not making believe. Somebody might think you're making believe, but I'm not making believe. I feel the power of God. I was sitting over there a while ago and I felt the mighty surge of God in my body. I feel God. I come here. Now you might stuff yourself with turkey and steak and everything else and can't feel the Spirit of God, but I want you to know I feel the Spirit of God. When I come here talking about Jesus, I feel Christ. I feel something bubbling in my soul. This thing is real to me. I sat and talked to Brother McDaniel today. I felt God's presence. Talked to Sister McDaniel there. As we communicated, the Spirit of God was present in the room. People hungry about God. People wanting to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we going to shine for God? Are we going to be like the people in the wilderness? Murmur, grumble, complain. And every time somebody comes into Bethlehem, catch them before they could even get to be a part of it and start ripping them apart and tell them about the deficiencies of Bethlehem. Are we going to do that? I tell you what, I'm afraid for them to go home with some of you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm afraid for them to go home with some of you. By the time you get through talking to them about the brotherhood, they're ready to leave Bethlehem. They don't want to be any part of it. But I tell you what, you better watch out. God's going to get you. God's going to get you. God's going to tear you up. The Bible said, beware you that forget godless, I'll tear you into pieces. You know, we need to come to the place to where we realize that God tears people into pieces. You know, we're always talking about the devil will tear somebody to pieces. The devil will tear somebody to pieces. I want you to know God will tear somebody to pieces. When we get this thing straightened out and realize that God will tear somebody to pieces, we'll get straightened out. Did you know? Did you know that? Did you know that the Lord of heaven will tear you into pieces? He said, beware ye that forget godless, I tear you into pieces. He said, you'll meet me just like a bear that's been robbed of her cubs. He said, you play the hypocrite. And you think I'm altogether such a one as you are, but one day I'll meet you face to face. When you come around, you're on the campground, your spirit's not right. You need to go back somewhere and pray and get straightened out. I meet a lot of you sometimes. Some of you I meet, if I meet you five times a day I meet a devil. Because you carry it with you everywhere you go. Some of you got such a haughty spirit that you can walk into my presence. And there's no fellowship with you. There ain't no fellowship with you at all. You walk into my presence. You got such a haughty spirit that the brethren spirit just falls. They can't have any fellowship with you because you're too strong spirit. You got a devil. You need to get rid of it. When you come into the brotherhood's presence, you should humble your spirit and submit your spirit one to another. You shouldn't come in there with a strong, haughty spirit. Bless God, I want them to know who I am. Come into a presence. You know, some of you walk into the presence of the brotherhood like some kind of a fool. Don't you know that's God's presence and that's God's temple? You come in the presence of God and God's brotherhood. You come in there with a kind of attitude. When you walk in, you want everybody to know you ain't scared of them. You need to get scared. I'll tell you, them sons of God will take you to pieces one of these days. You need to humble your heart when you come into the presence of the brotherhood. You should come in there seeking favor. Come in there humble like a little dog. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, Brother Pike, I think you done got off the trail. I'm on the devil's trail just as hard as I can go. Right after him. Right after him. Notice exactly where he lives. Like Brother McDaniel said today. Brother McDaniel was talking about how many devils and demons there are around. You get them stirred up. He said, Brother Pike, like we did back over yonder around Kennesaw, you find out how many devils and demons there really are around the town. There's some in Monroe too. Some around little Bethlehem. They get stirred up every once in a while. You people that live down here on the campground, you ought to be holy and just, clean and pure. But you know what you do? You remind me of James and John. If one of your neighbors act up out there, say, bless God, just wait till the judgment comes. I'll call fire down on you. And the first news you know, God done stuck the brand to you. That's right, and you're having problems. That's exactly the way it goes. See, if you always want the judgments of God to come on somebody else, you can be sure that the judgments of God's going to come on you. How do you know that? If every time some little something goes wrong, there's a feller here in our midst. Every time somebody rubs him wrong, he says, bless God, God will bring the judgments on him. One of these days, God's going to tear you slap out of the picture altogether. You just watch and see. No saint of God wants the judgments to come on anybody. Did you know that? No saint of God's looking for judgment on people. We're supposed to be praying for mercy and asking God to save the people out there and help the people. Not to bring judgment upon them and tear them down. Folks, them folks need help. Dear God, they need somebody that will pray and ask God to help them, give them a helping hand out there stumbling, groping in the darkness. Somebody's mother, somebody's child, somebody's daughter, somebody's dad, somebody's son. There was a time, you remember when I was out there. There was a time when you was out there. And Paul speaks of the fornicators and the liars and the cheat. And when he spoke of the saints of God, he said, such was you at one time. But God had mercy. Somebody prayed for me. We're not supposed to be beating their brains out, as Brother Mike uses the terms. But we're supposed to be out there helping the people. Trying to win the people to God. Do you pray for the people? The Bible said pray. Pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them folks out there. The little Bethlehem here is supposed to, we're not supposed to be in a warfare with the people up there in the sheriff's office. We're supposed to be a light out here. You say, well, why don't them police and different ones, whatever they got up there, leave us alone? If our ways please God, they will leave us alone. But as long as we play around out here and some of us act like a bunch of devils, always going to be problems. Like in the early Western days, I've said this before and I won't take a few more minutes tonight now. The early Western days, what caused the problem? Somebody tell me what caused the problem. Wasn't it a bunch of half-breeds that caused the problems? It wasn't the Indians that caused the problems, and it wasn't the white man that caused the problem. It was a bunch of half-breeds. And any time you got spiritual half-breeds, you're going to have problems. We've got some half-breeds out here. I'm glad we got some full-blooded, full-bred, you know. I'm glad we got something that we get the papers on. But we got we got some half-breeds out here. That's right. They half want to be in the church, and they half want the prestige up yonder. They half want to be out here. They'll come out here and they'll run their tongues like an old serpent, you know. You know, there's people that just go from house to house. They come over to Brother Denny's and their tongue just like an old serpent, telling Denny what's wrong with me. Come on. That's right. Telling Denny what a hypocrite I am. Ain't long before they come over to me and they're telling me what a hypocrite Denny is. Devils, talebearers, liars and cheats and swindlers. Is that right? Amen. You know what you need to do? Get up here and tell the people like we're telling them. If you've got somebody here tonight you'd like to tell them something, why don't you come up here and take the microphone? He won't do it. You know why? You're a hypocrite. That's why you won't do it. You don't want them to know about it, do you? You don't want them to know about it. You'd rather meet them in the morning, you know, and say, good morning, brother. Is that right? And then go to Brother Taylor and say, you know, that was so and so and so and so. You say, now, Brother Pike, you don't have them like that, so help me God, I have them to come down to the parties like that. I sit there and I listen at them run their tongue and I thank God one of these days you'll bust that hypocrite wide open. A lot of times I try to work with some of you because I know you're young in the Lord. I know you're just babies. You understand what I'm saying? And this don't sound too good, but a baby messes up his diaper a lot of times. He has to have a change and a good mother to work with him. Is that right? But when you get a little bigger, I don't know how it is nowadays, but boy, I tell you what, my daddy would lay the leather on me. That's right. I know people, when it got up a little bit bigger, then let them do something like that. And boy, daddy would tear them up. You understand? You don't need to be running your tongue all the time. You don't need to be doing that. You need to stop that. Grow up! Some of you need some responsibility. You need to get down to business and take on a vision. Take on some responsibility. If you had a responsibility, you wouldn't be running your mouth all the time. You wouldn't be going from place to place causing trouble as a talebearer. You'd be too busy doing something for God. But you wander, a wandering star, no light. Just wandering to and fro, here and there and everywhere, doing nothing. Like somebody said about the law. One of the lawyers said the law was so busy doing nothing it didn't have time to do something. See, if you get a vision, without a vision the people perish. Get together with somebody and get a vision. You know, there's one thing that really grinds at me. If I go out here and I start telling Keith here that there's somebody, you know, that's irresponsible, and I know that they're irresponsible, I know that they won't do nothing, and I say, well, so and so, but. There is no but about it. Either a man is irresponsible or a man is responsible. There ain't no need of you trying to go 5 miles around the stump. That man needs to get straightened out. Stop holding the devils up. Go to the man and tell him. Say, you're irresponsible. You need to take care of your family. You need to take care of your life. You need to take care of your bills. You need to do something. Sometimes they say, you sound just like you mean it. I mean every word of it. Every word of it. Tell him the way it is. That man will get straightened up or straightened out. Even if the undertaker has to straighten him out. Some people so stiff and starchy they ain't good for nothing but a slab at the morgue anyway. Ain't nothing stiffer than a corpse. I know I used to work at a funeral home. You know, in the Old Testament, God, he'd have them to break a donkey's neck, you know, if he got stiff and starchy. Did you know that? A rebellious ass, as the Bible refers to it back there, God would make him break his neck. Is that right? I tell you what, if you don't watch out, God will break your neck. You get stiff-necked. You don't surrender to God. You're not going to listen to anybody. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. And see if God don't break your neck. Sure, He'll do it. All right, you're a good congregation. I love you, and I don't mean to scold you and holler at you. But I get excited every time I start preaching. I get to thinking about, you know, what we could do, and we're not doing it. And I get stirred up. I get tore up. I go to pray sometimes. I get slapped, tore up. I'll be praying and just to praying, and finally after a while I say, my God, have mercy on me, help me. Lord, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with people? I get all tore up, and I get to calling on God. You know, you get down there and say, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, you wake up in 30 minutes and say, oh, Lord. Jesus said, couldn't you watch with me just 1 hour? But anyway, you're trying, ain't you? I'm guilty too. Let's stand together. You know, this is, I say things like this sometimes, and I know it sounds, you know, don't sound too good. But after all, it's life, isn't it? When Jesus spoke about the vomit and the sound, all that kind of thing, that didn't sound too good. But you remember it so well. We referred to it from different times, you know. Back years ago, women who had long hair used to get them full of lice. Now, you probably don't know a thing about that. Now, you might have had nice, modern convenience, you know, and you never knew what a lice was. But over at our house, they some got around in our family. But Mama didn't let them stay. Hallelujah! She might have to wreck the fine cone and wreck the fine cone and wreck the fine cone. But she got them out. We used to have a little saying, you know, among the poor folks. It says, no disgrace to get lice, but it's disgrace to keep them. You have to do something to justify the cause, you know. Sometimes chinches would get on the bed. Oh, I tell you. I'm a little country boy. Sometimes I'd roll from side to side trying to figure out which side they wasn't on. Now they get everywhere. But it was the best grandma could do. Go with them sometimes way back over in the sage field, you know. I know you've done it. Me and grandma, we go way back across the sage field, back over there, and we ring off some sage, you know. Great big old sage field. Ring off some sage, and we tie some strings around it and make some, you know, a broom. You couldn't buy the brooms. You had to make your brooms. Make some brooms. Make you mattresses, you know. Had to make the mattresses out of straw. Make the mattresses. Fortunate enough to have enough feathers from the hen, we get a pillow. We do the best we could. My grandpa, he was a clean man. My daddy was a clean man. And sometimes we'd move into a house and you could see slap through the walls and the top and the floor too. A lot of times they didn't have no ceiling, and it was just up like a barn had the tin on. That's all it had on it. Sound like the whole place was falling if it rained hard. I'm not kidding you. I've laid down on the floor a lot of times and feed the chickens through the hole. I've done it. Watch him, you know. But the thing is, my granddad and dad, they were clean. We'd move into one of them old houses and they'd scrub it down. I've seen my grandma take hot water and scrub the walls down and scrub the ceiling down and scrub the floor with sand. But somehow them chinches would come around. Somehow or another them lizards would get in through them cracks. But we made out. But how do we know we're living in a better day? Living in a better day. God don't expect to keep chinches around now. They got some spray for it. They got some ways to get rid of them. Of course, my grandma and my mother, they always got rid of them. But I tell you what, a lot of problems sometimes to keep them out. But see, we're living in a modern day. Everything, folks, is shaping up to perfection. We're supposed to be moving toward that perfect mark now. You think what would somebody think today if a woman with long hair come around and her head was full of lice? Now, what would they think today? That would be slap out of reason, wouldn't it? So you don't even think about nothing like that today. It's altogether different. Inspectors go down to the dairies. The milk comes from the cow. It comes through a little pipe right out into the bucket. Nothing can't get into it. The bucket's covered everything from one thing to another. Isn't that right? Everything sees change in inspectors everywhere. The laws are pinning down. You can't do one little thing wrong. They'll get you now. Now you say, Brother Pike, what's all of that got to do with us? Your lights are getting brighter and brighter. See, the rapture is at hand. Something is taking place. Look at these bright lights setting here tonight. That means something. See, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that light getting brighter, moving from glory to glory, that's translating us. Translating us. See, it's moving the shadows away. Getting all the shadows out of our life. All the discrepancies out of our life. See, we're becoming brighter and brighter like the noonday sun. The rapture's taking place. Something's happening. We need to get in and move up, folks. Get perfect. Every little thing in your life, get it out. Because I tell you this, in the love of God, I tell you again, the Lord will forgive you. If you stumble and stagger, Christ will forgive you. But just as sure as you do it, you're going to pay for it. He'll forgive you. He'll let you in the pearly gates if you repent. Straighten out. But them things that you've done, every one of them must be paid for. Every one of them. Every one of them. The Bible said every transgression. Do you believe this? That's the reason that some people don't have anything? That's the reason some people don't prosper? Now listen just a minute and I'm going to close. There was a time in my life when I couldn't have nothing. I'm telling you the truth, Brother Gary. I'd get an automobile and lose it. I wouldn't pay but $300 for the thing. But before I could get it paid for, something happened. I'd lose that automobile. And I just thought life was such a hit and a miss. It's like the song that Denny sang so much. I just thought the whole thing was just a big calamity. And I thought poor folks don't never have nothing. No need to plan to have nothing because poor folks just ordained to never have nothing. I was a mixed up fella. My own daddy said, you just must be a jinx. Because that you can imagine how much that helped the situation. But anyway, that was the condition that I was in. And I was praying and crying before God when I got acquainted with the Lord. I said, Lord, tell me something. I said, why is it that folks can't have nothing? And he spoke so clear to me. And he brought a scripture to me that I had read a number of times. And it said, don't do wrong. I remember it so well. He said, don't do wrong. And turn in the presence of the angel of God and say it was an error. Said, for why should I destroy the works of your hand? And I said, God, that's it. That must be it. And you get in his epiphire, one fiery trial after another. So I begin to pray. And I begin to say, Lord, help me to be perfect. God, make a perfect man out of me. God, don't let me do wrong. And I got interested. And I begin to do right. And God began to bless me. And God began to bless me. And God began to bless me. And things got better and better and better. And when I make a mistake, and I still make mistakes, when I make a mistake, I go to God on my face and I say, oh Lord, forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean to do it. Help me, Jesus. Don't destroy the works of my hand. Make me start all over again. Be merciful to me and forgive me. Lord, I'll do my best not to do it again. And the Lord has blessed me. And I challenge you to do the same thing and see if God don't bless you. See if it don't change in your storehouse. As I live before God tonight, you'll find out your entire life will change and God will bless you physically, spiritually, and financially, and you'll find yourself going up and you won't lose what you got. There's Brother Gary. Brother Gary, am I telling the truth? Didn't you try this? Haven't you tried to really perfect your life and straighten your life out before God? Hasn't God been blessing you and you've been able to keep what you got? It wasn't like that before, though, was it? It makes a difference. It absolutely makes a difference, folks. You just apply it and see if I'm telling you the truth. Live a straight life. Be straight. Be clean. Don't cover up nothing. The Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Is that right? But he that confesseth his sins, and forsaketh his sins. See, not just confess them, but if he will forsake his sins, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. Try it and see if it works. It worked for me. It'll work for you. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I hope you don't get tired of coming to Bethlehem and having me holler at you. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. Tell the house of Jacob of their transgressions. They delight to know me and come before me daily as a people that did my will. But he said they haven't done my will. So then, let's love Jesus. Come to Bethlehem. Come to Bethlehem. And let's worship Jesus together. Oh, ain't it going to be wonderful? The Bible said someday the house of the Lord shall be established in the high hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. Germany, America, India, all of them. Hundreds of thousands of them will just flow to the house of God. And the Bible said they'll say one to another, we have forgotten our God. Come, let us go up to the house of our God, and he will teach us of his ways. And said it shall be a beautiful thing. All nations shall flow unto it. Let's make little Bethlehem a beautiful thing. So people will want to come to church at Little Bethlehem. Can you do that? Don't quit because you've stumbled, folks. Don't quit. Don't just stop because you made a mistake. Don't do that. But don't be deceitful either. Don't get up and say, well, I'm going again, and go the same old evil way that you went before. Don't do that. God will kill you sooner or later. He'll kill you. Don't do that. But clean up. Straighten up. Do right. And God will strengthen you. And God will help you, and you'll be a great people. The eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, running to and fro in the earth, seeking the upright in heart, and him that hath the perfect heart, that he, God, may show himself strong in the behalf of that individual. How many of you like for God to show himself strong in your behalf tonight? That's wonderful. He will. I believe he is going to show himself strong in the behalf of you people. Pray for my children. I'm praying for yours. Help my children. Scold them if they do wrong. But don't abuse them. Don't beat them. Don't pounce on them. Okay, let's sing this little chorus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never fail. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Sing it again, can you? Oh, they that wait upon my Lord shall renew their strength. Can you come down with Scotty tonight? Can you? Can you come down, friend, tonight? Just come on down tonight, will you? They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint.
Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Hallelujah. I feel God, don't you? You know, if we'll walk up right before God and serve Christ, the people for many miles around, they'll say, you know, there ain't nobody like them Bethlehemites. Them are straight people, clean people, holy people. And the Bible said God will put the fear, just think about that, God will put the fear of you upon all of the land, all of the land. The police will be afraid of you. Your creditors will be afraid to cross you up. People will be afraid to talk against you. God will put the fear of you upon all the land. They'll be afraid of you. He said, because you're called by my name. For my people that are called by my name, if they'll humble their heart, pray. Humble their heart and pray. Humble their heart and pray. That I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands. I'll heal their lands. I'll heal their lands. I'll hear from heaven. I'll hear from heaven. Think about that. God said, I'll hear from heaven. To think that mortal man can get God to listen at him. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal your lands. I'll heal your lands. I love to be in touch with God, don't you? It makes me feel so good to be in touch with God. Oh, I feel Him. Don't you feel Him tonight? I feel Him. It's so wonderful to feel Him on the inside of you. Just be spiritually entwined and wrapped up in Him. Hallelujah. Just makes you feel so good. Brother Taylor sings that song. Come a little closer. Just to get close to God and feel interwoven with Jesus. Tonight, if you don't feel that interwoven experience, you don't have the strength that you need. You have to feel that interwoven experience if you're going to have the strength that you need. Do you have the interwoven experience with God? Did you know there's nothing like serving God? Nothing. I see Debbie here tonight. I didn't recognize her a while ago. We're glad to have her here with us tonight. I'm always glad to see my sisters, brothers, natural sisters and brothers come to the Lord. I'm so glad to see them concerned enough to come to the house of God. I pray for them all the time. Praying last night for Debbie and Kenny. Praying last night for you and your children. Praying last night for your loved ones, for your daddy and your mother and your brothers and sisters. So help me, God. Praying last night, saying, Jesus, have mercy on the people of Little Bethlehem and help their daddies and mothers. Help our people in Little Bethlehem to realize that there's a burning lake of fire. And I get to thinking when I pray it, and I say, my God, Lord, if one of my children ever die, if they ever tell me one of them's dead, I say, that's the last. I can't do any more after that. And I say, my God, help me to reach them. And I think about your little sons and your little daughters and your mothers and daddies and brothers and sisters. I think about Brother Zale and Sister Sally's boys, and I thank God, if the report ever comes, one of them's dead, they can't ever help them anymore. But let's do something. Daddy and Mother, let's pray. Let's do something. Let's call on Jesus. You pray for me and pray for my children, my parents. Let me pray for you. And let's get together and do something for God. I tell you, tearing me to pieces. The end of time coming, and I know everything is at a close. And I know that the powers of evil are grabbing people. And I tell you, it tears me up. Let's do something. Let's do something. You say, Brother Pike, what can I do? Pray. Pray. Be obedient. Be a light. Did you know you may be the reason why that my son or Brother Carnes' son or some other son won't come to little Bethlehem and live right? You might be the snare standing at the door and won't go in, won't get in with the people of Bethlehem. Just stand there and say, well, I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do that? Don't you know that God will tear you to pieces? You get in and believe it, or get away from it and run for your life. Don't stand at the door. If you don't believe it and can't get in, get away from it, because you might be the thing that's hindered that soul that would come to God. You might be to blame for it. You might be to blame for it. It might be the things that you've said or the things that you've done that's caused the trouble. It might be the very words that you've said. You say, well, Brother Pike, it might be the words you said. It could be. But there's one thing about it. I've said my words before all of you. Jesus said, in secret have I said nothing. I've told every one of you how I felt about you individually and about you the people and about Bethlehem. There's nothing hid that won't be uncovered. There's nothing done in the dark that won't be brought to the light. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I've got some skeletons in the closet. I don't have any in the closet. I cleaned my closets out a long time ago. I don't have any in my closet. If I had one in there tonight, I'd go get the thing and throw it out in the river somewhere. I don't like living with skeletons. You need to clean your closets out, folks. It might be what you say also that might bring somebody to God. Did you know that? It might be the word that you speak. I've heard by David Paul. He'd come to me and he'd say, Dad, you know, brother so-and-so, said I would just slap down at the bottom, and said he'd come along and said something. He said, Daddy had done so much for me, he said, I can't express it in words, what it did for me. You never know when you get out there in those dark places. I've been in them. You get out there and you feel like you're, nobody cares for you. Nobody's helping you. Nobody's giving you a helping hand. You feel cut off. And then you see somebody come by and got a little ray of light. You take courage and you say, oh God. Oh God, you still care for me. You still care for me. Who was it the other day? I talked to somebody and the Lord undertook for him. I can't get it to register. But God undertook for him. And I said, see? I said, Jesus still loves you. And it just tore them all to pieces. Tears come into the eyes. And they said, I thought God had forgotten me. I said, I just thought he was through with me and he'd never come my way anymore. But said, I know he must love me. I know he must care for me. For why did he do that? See, why does God care enough to tell Brother Joseph to go over here to a prison, go by a prisoner cell and say, I just come by to tell you Jesus loves you? Oh my, you can't imagine what that would be like. You can't imagine what that would be like to love him and to be loved. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs a helping hand. Don't tear folks down. Let's lift our hands up together, can we? I remember Brother Dan back here from over in Dothan. Dan said when the tent came down in Dothan, he told us that Brother Pike about gone the last mile of the way, so to speak. Said I was at a low ebb. Some of them said he even thought about taking his life. But George Jr., Brother Dale Cartridge, David Paul, they went by and found a little fellowship. Tonight, Dan standing out here in the crowd, he might not be like I am, he might not be like you are, but we need to work with him and help him. There's others that we need to work with. If people have got evil spirits, it's all right to call it what it is, but remember to love the person. Remember to love the person. See, we're not against the people. The Bible teaches that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against you. I'm wrestling against spiritual powers, evil powers. I'm trying to get them out of your life. I don't have anything against you. I don't know of any living human being in the world that I have anything against. Not one iota against any living human being. But I'm wrestling against spirits. Like I told somebody just before I come to church, I said, that's a spirit talking through you. I said, no. I said, yes, it is. It's a spirit. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. When you find somebody that's accusing the brethren, that's a spirit. Jesus don't do that. Now, Jesus will discuss the brethren, talk about the brethren in the sense of being constructive or exchange conversation and trying to find the right things and help them. But he won't criticize them. He won't tear them down. That's Satan. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Oh, my rest. Hallelujah. It's complete. While I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. You know, I'd like to rejoice with you all the time and be in the mellowness of God. But the Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment. How can we have this living joy? How can we have this abundance of living? How can we do it? First, we've got to repent. First, we've got to be chastened. Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered, even to the death of Calvary. Being made perfect, he become the author of and the finisher of our salvation, of our faith. That's why we get this abundance of joy and Christian living. As we become repentant, when we sing the songs, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, my joy and rest is complete. I sit at Jesus' feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, give me strength. Let us walk along together. And give me strength. Bless little Bethlehem. Bless my brothers and sisters. I'm thinking about Denny's prayers. Denny's been praying. And I've been praying with him that his daddy and mother come to little Bethlehem. That's his heart's desire. See, this thing is reaching over in Arkansas. It's touched his heart. It's reaching in California. It's got Brother Chuck's mother and daddy shook up in California. Reaching everywhere. Into the islands, everywhere. And I've been praying with him. And then he told me in so many words, Brother Pike, it's just about impossible to get my daddy to listen. But he's listening, isn't he, Denny? He's listening. What is it? It's because Denny is praying and trying to live for God. You do that. You say, my daddy won't listen. Yes, he will. Brother Richard told me, Brother Richard back here, Brother Richard Gills, Brother Richard said it's just about impossible to touch Chuck's folks. But Brother Richard said, Brother Pike said, before the living God, said something is taking place. Said somebody said, God has touched the hearts of the life of Chuck's people. Let me tell you, if you live right, God will touch the hearts of your dad and mom. Yes, he will. He'll penetrate that wall. You just pray. Say, Jesus, that's my daddy. That's my mama. Do something, Jesus. Don't let them die. Don't let them be lost. Don't let them go down into the fire. Think tonight. Think, friend, while they're still alive. While they're still alive, think about it. Think about it while they're still alive. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late. Think about it. Can you lift your hands again and sing that chorus with me? While you're singing, think about your mom and daddy and your loved ones. the lost out yonder. Such a sad thing, such a sad thing. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Father of heaven, while they're singing tonight, I ask in Jesus' name to hear me. Will you look down on the people of little Bethlehem? Dear God, will you forgive our sins? Will you help us, Jesus? Will you take away our iniquities and sufferings and sorrows and help the people? Oh God, will you do it in Jesus' name tonight? Will you break every yoke, Jesus, and let us go home clean? Let our little children be touched again. Father, let the joy of the Lord be with us again. Let us see our loved ones serving God. Let there be a vision. Father, let the radiance of God in the hearts of the people of little Bethlehem be so bright that the multitudes will be drawn to it. I ask you to do it tonight, Jesus. Hear us tonight as we pray, as we worship thee tonight, as we look unto thee. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way. Sing it again, can you? Sweep over my soul.